Okay, so let's unpack this because if you've been brave enough to look at your portfolio this week,
Hey, brave is the right word.
or honestly just glanced at the headlines, you are probably scratching your head. We are talking about the second week of February 2026, and we are looking at what I can only describe as a massive, confusing anomaly.
It really is. It's a fascinating moment because on one hand, you have the macro data, inflation. It actually looks pretty good. The numbers this week hinted at economic calm, which, in any normal world, that's the signal for a rally.
Yeah, you pop the champagne, stocks go up, everyone goes home happy. That's the playbook. Good economy, good market.
But that is not what happened.
Not at all. Instead, we look at the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, and it's just a sea of red, severe declines. It's this deep paradox where the economy says, go, and the market is just screaming, stop.
And we aren't just talking about a little correction here. People are using words like bloodbath.
And bloodbath is the exact word in the strategic report we're breaking down today.
It is. It landed on desks this week with the title, The Software Bloodbath, Wall Street's AI Cannibalization Report. And that title, it's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
It sounds like a horror movie.
For a lot of software investors, it is.
So the mission for us today is to figure out why. Why are investors suddenly treating their darling software companies like they're radioactive? We need to understand this redefinition of value that seems to be happening like literally overnight.
And it all starts with that word from the title.
Cannibalization. I mean, usually when we talk about that, we mean a company's new product eating the sales of their old one. The iPhone eating the iPod, that kind of thing. Is that what this is? Is AI eating other AI?
It's actually much more systemic than that. It's not product versus product. It's business model against business model. The report defines it as AI cannibalization, agents versus licenses.
Agents versus licenses.
And to understand the panic, you have to look at how tech has made money for the last, what, 20 years?
The software as a service.
Exactly. The subscription economy. You buy a license, you pay a monthly fee for a seat for every employee, and they log in to use the software. It's been the golden goose.
Right. Whether I use it 5 times a day or 500, the company pays for my seat.
You're the operator. The software waits for you. But this report introduces a new concept called agentic economics. And this is where the floor just falls out.
Agentic economics sounds
It's
complicated.
actually the opposite. It's deflationary for the software companies. It's the shift from software that is used by humans to software that acts on its own.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Well, think about the unit economics. If you have software that needs a human to click buttons, you need a license for that human. That's $50, $100 a month, maybe more.
Got it.
But what happens when you can deploy an AI agent that can just do the work?
Yo.
The agent doesn't need a graphical user interface. It doesn't need to log in like we do. It just interacts via an API. It runs in the background.
So you don't need the human sitting there in the seat.
And if you don't need the human in the seat, you don't need the seat license.
Wow. Okay, hold on. So the cannibalization is the agent eating the license.
That's it, exactly. Why would a company pay for 500 Salesforce seats for their data entry team when they can run a single agent that does the work of all 500 people for a fraction of the cost?
The entire revenue model of charging per head just
It
crumbles.
collapses. The whole margin structure collapses.
That makes so much sense. But there's another layer to this in the report that I found really interesting, this idea of switching costs.
Oh, this is huge.
Historically, software companies love making their products complicated, right? We call them moats. If I spend 6 months training my whole team on Adobe Creative Suite, I am never going to switch to a competitor. The pain is just too high.
Right. You are locked in by the interface, the buttons, the menus, the specific way you have to click to get things done. That friction is what kept retention so high for legacy size.
I feel that personally. I've stayed with terrible software just because I didn't want to relearn where the save button was.
We all have. But the report highlights this idea, agentic AI and the lowering of switching costs. And here is the reality check. If an AI agent is doing the work, the user interface matters so much less.
Because the agent doesn't care if the buttons are blue or green.
The agent doesn't even see the buttons. You just tell the agent, update the customer file, and it interacts with the database directly. It doesn't care if the UX is clunky.
So that moat you spent a decade building just evaporates.
It's gone. If your software is just a backend for an agent, I can swap you out for a competitor instantly. It creates a race to the bottom on price.
It's terrifying if you're a legacy software giant.
And that is why Wall Street is looking at these massive size valuations and just saying, get me out.
Which brings us to the corporate battlefield. Because we have to name some names here. Who's really taking the hit? The report specifically calls out Titans, Microsoft, and Adobe.
It literally asks the question, end of legacy sauce.
That is a brutal question to ask about those two.
It is. Microsoft and Adobe are the kings of the seat-based model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Creative Cloud, Microsoft 365, these are the ultimate pay-per-user empires. Wall Street is punishing them because investors are looking at that model and saying, this is outdated.
Wait, but hold on a second. Microsoft is the biggest company in the world. They are arguably the leaders in AI. They have Copilot. They have the OpenAI partnership. Are you really telling me investors think they're going to vanish? That just feels like an overreaction.
It's not that they'll vanish. It's that their margins might vanish. The report talks about Microsoft's survival strategy. And look, they aren't sitting still. They are trying to become AI native.
They have to, right?
They have to. But the report notes that investors are being told to watch Microsoft's monthly reports on agentic AI progress very, very closely. It's a show-me market now.
So they have to prove they can pivot from selling seats to selling outcomes.
Exactly. And that is a very hard pivot to make when your entire stock valuation is built on the beautiful predictability of monthly subscriptions. That predictability goes away. The stock price goes down.
Okay, so software is bleeding, but not everyone is losing this week. The report calls it hardware dominance.
This is the classic picks and shovels play of the AI gold rush, but on steroids. While software stocks are sliding, hardware is still booming.
NVIDIA, obviously, they're the king.
Hey.
But there is another name mentioned right alongside them that really caught my eye. Cerebras.
Yes, Cerebras.
Now, most people know NVIDIA, but Cerebras, that's a name that, you know, usually only deep tech nerds throw around. Why are they suddenly in that top tier?
It's because of how these agents think. Traditional chips, GPUs, are great for training models. But the report talks about building agentic data centers. And if you're in a world of agents, those agents need to reason and plan in real time. That's a different kind of architecture.
And Cerebras does that better.
They build what's called wafer scale engines. Imagine a single chip the size of a dinner plate. It allows for massive fast memory access right on the chip, which is crucial for inference, the actual thinking part of AI.
So the money is flowing to the companies that can power these new agent workloads.
The logic is, sell the software that gets cannibalized. Buy the hardware that powers the cannibals.
Yeah.
You want to own the factory, not the product.
But the fear seems to be even broader than just tech. The report mentions a defensive rotation. Where else is money going?
This is where it gets really interesting for the whole economy. Investors are escaping tech entirely and moving money into utilities and real estate.
Utilities, like the power company. That sounds incredibly boring compared to AI agents and wafer scale chips.
It is boring. That's the entire point. It's a hedge against all this volatility. But there's a deeper reason for the utility play.
Let me guess. Agents need a lot of power.
Agents need a massive amount of power. An agentic data center consumes energy at a rate that is just staggering. So utilities aren't just a safety play. They are a direct growth play on the AI revolution.
Okay, that makes sense. But there's a darker cloud in the report. It's not just about money. It's about the raw material for AI, the data reservoir theory. This part actually gave me chills.
It's a legitimate concern. The report poses the question, is public training data depleted?
Break that down for us. What does that mean for the models?
Well, think of data as the fuel for AI. For the last decade, we've scraped the entire internet. We've fed these models everything, Wikipedia, Reddit, every digitized book.
We've read the whole library.
We've read the library, the archives, and the trash cans out back. The fear is that we've hit the bottom of the barrel. If that reservoir runs dry, the exponential growth curve of AI intelligence might just stall.
But can't they use synthetic data, have an AI write its own books and learn from that?
It can, but that has its own risks. It's like making a photocopy of a photocopy. The quality degrades. If models start training on their own weird output, you can get a collapse in logic.
So you have a business model collapsing, and at the same time, a fear that the technology might hit a ceiling because it runs out of fuel. That explains the panic.
It's a perfect storm of uncertainty, and that feeds into what the report forecasts for 2028.
2028, what's the forecast?
High volatility on the AI ROI path. Basically, the road to getting a return on all this AI spending isn't going to be a smooth lineup. It's going to be messy for a couple of years.
So buckle up. But while Wall Street is panicking, there are real people involved. What about the human impact? If companies don't need seats, they don't need the people in them.
This is where the stock crash hits the real economy. The report draws a direct line between this valuation reset and tech hiring. When your stock price gets cut in half, you freeze hiring.
So we're looking at hiring freezes.
Or worse, if a company realizes its revenue is at risk and they're pivoting to agentic workflows, they might not need to hire junior developers or data entry clerks anymore. 2026 is shaping up to be a very tough year for tech workers.
It feels like a fundamental shift in what employment even means in tech.
It is. We're moving from hiring headcount to hiring compute.
And this is where it gets really interesting. There's this glimmer of something totally different in the report. It talks about the Purple Fabric model.
I love that name.
It sounds like a Prince song. What is it? The report calls it Compute Democracy in Emerging Markets.
This is the optimistic twist. While the West panics about stock prices, the Purple Fabric model suggests a huge shift in where compute power is accessible.
How so?
If you have agentic AI running in the cloud, in those massive Cerebras-powered data centers, the device in your hand matters less. You don't need a powerful computer in your backpack. You just need access to the agent.
So the heavy lifting is all done somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think about a kid in Lagos or Jakarta. To compete globally, they might have needed a $3,000 MacBook Pro.
A massive barrier to entry.
Huge. But under this model, that kid just needs a cheap tablet with a good connection. The agent in the cloud does the coding. The agent does the rendering. The tablet is just a window into the fabric.
That completely flips the script. We always hear that AI will widen the gap between rich and poor, but this suggests it could smash the barrier to entry.
That's the democracy part. It levels the playing field. It might be bad for Dell selling high-end laptops, but it could be amazing for global innovation.
That is a fascinating perspective. So let's bring this all together. If I'm listening to this, what does the report actually suggest I do? There's an investing guide at the end.
Yes, and it's surprisingly direct. First, it advises to temporarily distance yourself from companies relying solely on seat-based licensing models.
Okay, so if they charge per head, be careful. What should you look for instead?
Focus on infrastructure. The report explicitly names Alphabet and Cerebras as examples of giants building these agentic data centers. You want to own the rails that the agents run on.
And for the nervous investor who thinks this all sounds way too volatile?
Rotate part of the portfolio into staples and utilities. Hedge against the NASDAQ volatility. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
So what does this all mean if we step back from the stock tips?
I think the conclusion sums it up well. It's a fundamental redefinition of value. We are moving from a world where we buy tools to help us work to a world where we hire digital agents to do the work for us.
From buying a hammer to hiring a carpenter.
That's the perfect analogy. And the market is just realizing that the business model for selling hammers is very different from the business model for selling carpentry services.
And that leads me to one final thought, something I've been mulling over since we started reading this.
Go for it.
If agentic economics really takes over and software begins to act rather than be used, does the concept of a user eventually just disappear entirely?
That is the question, isn't it?
And if the user disappears, what happens to the human workforce that used to operate that software? If I'm not the user, am I just the observer?
That is the multi-trillion dollar question. Mm. Maybe we aren't users anymore. Maybe we're supervisors. Or maybe, for some tasks, we're obsolete. The report doesn't answer that, but it implies the definition of work is about to change just as drastically as the definition of software.
A cheerful thought to end on. But, hey, that's why we do the deep dive, to find the questions that matter, even if the answers are a little scary.
Absolutely. It's better to see the wave coming.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be watching those data reservoirs and agentic reports very closely.
Until next time.
Take care.